All right, we have on the podcast today Jamie Tardy. Jamie, how you doing?
I am doing excellent. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, we before we jumped on the air here, we were just catching up because we saw each other in August. We saw each other a lot this year. You know, we see each other a lot every year. Like we do the rounds, and then I go back home, and sometimes I get let back into the country, and sometimes I don't. That's just the way it goes.
Just talking about that's hilarious.
But what I want to talk to you about is, I mean, we were talking before about like just growth, like, and I think that the name of your you know, your book and your kind of your mantra, the whole thing that you've built your business on is the eventual millionaire. And the key to me is, I mean, yeah, millionaire, sure, that's awesome, I want to be a millionaire, but I want to talk about the eventual part too, right? Like the whole because I think a lot of people, especially when they're starting out or when they're trying to either build habits or build practices or just try to, you know, level up, they get really caught up in the end and not the process along the way. So they're like, I want to be this person, so I will pull out all the stops to do it. And they don't realize what all the stops are along the way and that it's not necessarily something that's going to happen. Like that overnight success story, what's that? There's a quote like, it takes 7 years to become an overnight success or something like that.
Definitely. So, and everybody's heard that quote before, but they sort of ignore it when they're in it. They're like, yeah, but.
Yeah, exactly. So when you and I kind of, I know, when did you start? Like, I guess that's probably the best way to, when did you start doing what you're doing now? Like what, like when you could pinpoint and say, okay, yeah, I was dabbling in it. And then, but this is where I kind of, you know, turned it up a notch.
There's a couple of those points. So I was an offline business coach, like working with businesses in Maine with no online presence whatsoever, probably 6 or 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. I went online about 4.5 years ago. And it was really playing around. I had the site Eventual Millionaire. I wasn't doing a great job at it. I was trying. But 4 years ago is when I really started to turn up a notch. I started interviewing millionaires. I got on CNN and Yahoo and all these things without knowing how I did it. And so it was one of those things where I was like, oh, maybe I'm onto something. I should probably do something with this. And that's what really made me sort of kick it up a notch and be like, oh, okay, let me actually really figure out what the heck I'm doing instead of dabbling and playing around and going, yeah, this is cool. So, and that was, I mean, 4 years ago sounds like not a long time, but in internet years, it's like forever.
Yeah, it's a long, I mean, that's, we kind of really started to both take things seriously around the same time. Because I quit my job back around that time. So that's when I had just finished. I think I was with Work Awesome at that time.
Oh, so, yeah. I remember. Right? Yeah. So when I met you, you were there. Yeah.
So I think that's when I was still working part-time at the film festival. Full-time at the film festival and full-time on the internet. I'm like, you know, 80 hours a week, not going to work for me for very long, you know, with a young kid. I think that's when we kind of, but what I, when you decided to kick it up a notch, did you say, okay, I'm going to go from person on the internet that's like, you know, kind of dabbling. Did you say, okay, here are the processes I'm going to start putting in place to make sure that this growth and this thing is sustainable? Did you have like certain things that you did at that point in time that really, other than obviously giving it more focus, that really kind of looking back, you said, yeah, those are things that if I didn't do those then, it would make things a lot harder now?
Definitely. So I reevaluated my blogging. So I was blogging. I think I had 500 subscribers after 6+ months. Mm-hmm. And I was going to give it up, like, completely. It is a lot of work to blog. And I was not getting a lot of – I was getting any revenue from my blog. I was trying to get coaching clients from it, but it was a little weird. And I'm a really slow writer. I have a book, but I'm a really slow writer. And I remember that point where, okay, CNN emailed me and I was like, okay, maybe I'm onto something. But then once I was on all that press, I'm like, I don't know if blogging, if writing is sustainable for me. So I brought it to my mastermind group and two of them there had podcasts and they were like, well, why don't you do a podcast? You love talking to people. You love, like, that's super easy for you. I was like, that's a great idea. And one of the girls, Maren Kate Dunavan, who now owns a company called Zirtual, which you know, goes, why don't you interview millionaires? I was like, that's a great idea. That goes perfect with my brand. I always wanted to talk to millionaires. I don't know any, but that sounds like a great idea. And so, I mean, that was 4 years ago, and it's kind of crazy. If I didn't do that, I don't know where I would be. That's sort of my brand now, right? I mean, I've interviewed over 200 millionaires now, and it's so easy, and the connections I've made are insane. And if I was just a blogger, I don't think I would ever have gotten the same A, exposure, and B, network that I had otherwise. That makes sense?
No, totally. I mean, it's an extension. It's funny now that we both saw each other at Podcast Movement and Podcast. Actually, as we were recording this week, you're seeing like a lot of articles about Serial, you know, which is the NPR podcast, and podcasts are back. I mean, we kind of knew that before, but now the mainstream's going, oh, look, and Spotify's talking about adding podcasts to their mix. So, I mean, there's all these different things that you can do to kind of extend not just your brand, but, you know, kind of the message that you're trying to deliver. And one of the things that I find that's happened to me over the years is that, and I think this is something that happens to comedians too, because I know when I was doing comedy that I looked at everything through that lens of how can I make this funny? You know what I mean? Like the whole notion of, and I mean, I use that Jerry Seinfeld joke all the time where he goes into the restroom on an airplane and sees the razor disposal unit, goes, who's shaving on the plane so much that they're going through blades? Like, you know, is there a wolf man in there? And I'm like, that's hilarious because it's stupid because the reason it's there is because someone may go, oh, I have to shave and I have an extra blade that's dull and I'm just going to put it in there. But every comedian looks at things through that weird, how can I shape this? I've done that with everything I look at. I see and I'm like, oh, how do I relate this to productivity? Do you do that with your, like, and it's hard to shut it off too, right? You know, if you do it long enough, you eventually think, okay, it's time to be the guy just watching Big Hero 6 with my kids versus, oh my God, how can I write a blog post about how Big Hero 6 is the efficiency of, you know, the delivery system, blah, 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 right? So do you find that you start to really look things through that lens of the eventual millionaire? And then first off, when were you able to kind of say, okay, I can turn this off at will and turn it back on at will?
I'm not sure I can. So the story
that was a trick question.
I know, right? Last night, I do Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I was hanging out with a bunch of the guys after jiu-jitsu class, and they were joking around. And one guy's like, "Oh, I'm going to introduce you to my tailor," and blah blah. And I'm super naive, right? So they're joking, and I don't even get that they're playing with me, right? And the guy was like, "Oh yeah, my tailor's super exclusive. He only has 7 clients." Blah blah blah. And I was like, "Oh really? You know?" Because I don't know. And then in my head, I was like, "How does he make a business out of 7 clients? I wonder how much each one of them." And I started like going over his business model in my head, and they thought it was hilarious. The only way I knew it was a joke was that like the business model didn't make sense in my brain. And they're like, "That is so cute. Like, that's what you care about. That's how you know, you're so gullible. You know, the only thing that pulls you out of that is your business brain," which is hilarious. But yeah, I do that all the time. I see everything through the lens of business. So the interviews that I do are all focused on how they built their business. So all the millionaires I interview, and I'm a business coach, so everything that I see is business, which is so funny because most people think I'm crazy for it. And again, I don't know that I can turn it off. I'll hear a conversation behind me, like when we're out in public, and I'll be like, "Oh, are you talking about business?" Or not, right?
Well, I think the reason, I mean, we've gone to a lot of these, you know, conferences and events and stuff. We've made a lot of friends through there. And I think one of the reasons I go is because that's honestly where I can shut it off a bit more, because everyone's all doing it. Like, they're all talking about their own thing. So you know what I mean? Then you're in that space where it's almost, you're all looking for a place to shut it off for a little while. At New Media Expo, every year we're like, okay, the past couple of years, I think I went to like 2 sessions, and the rest of the time I was in the hanging out with everybody. And yeah, we're probably occasionally bringing up our stuff into the conversation, but a lot of cases we're just talking. And I think that that's to look at events, and that's part of growth too, right? Is going to these events, you know, learning about how you can leverage your, you know, your businesses and what you're doing, especially if you're new to this stuff in a lot of ways. But the other thing is just the almost like the reprieve from it all, you know, where you're all in the same place and you can kind of feed off of that energy and, you know, have a bit of a vacation, so to speak, but a learning vacation. And I mean, I've noticed that that's what happens in those places, is that people are, while they're still, you know, talking about their business and are there because of their business, they actually have a propensity to be able to not talk about their business a little bit more because they're everyone else is there. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. So it's funny in regards to growth. I go to a lot of events. A lot of the events I either unconference or I'll buy tickets and then not go. They were making fun of me. My friends here in Austin were making fun of me the other day because I'm like, oh, I want to go to this event. And they're like, Jamie, you don't actually go to the event. So really, like, what's the point? I'm like, no, I'm going to send my assistant there. She's going to take notes. She's going to get a ticket. I'm going to just hang out with all the people outside. I've learned my lesson in buying tickets and not actually going. And so it's funny, though, because when you talk about growth, tonight I'm actually doing a whole webinar on networking and up-leveling your friends and that sort of thing because way back when, you know, 5 years ago, I made a goal to level up my friends. I looked at, you know how they say the five closest people to you are sort of the level measure of your success.
Yeah, you are the sum of the five people that you're exactly. closest to or whatever. Yeah.
And I did that and I wrote down their names and I, of course, never showed anyone that. But I was like, this is not where I want to be. I was sort of the top level of all my friends. I'd done a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And I went, okay, I made it a point to up-level my friends. And that's when I started my mastermind group and a whole bunch of other things. But the interesting piece is being around people that are just so utterly amazing in so many aspects of their life. Not just wealth, because yes, success and money is great, but being really successful and growth oriented in all aspects of their life is huge. And just being around those people makes me feel really good and levels me up from seeing the way they interact with people, from hearing their language, from doing all that stuff. You immerse yourself in that, which to me is way more valuable than sitting in and taking notes. That's not how I learn, number one. And so hence the sending my assistant who learns that way. Like, yep. You learn that. Tell me what's important later. But I've learned that about myself, that having and being around those people, not only for the connections, I mean, my network is insane now, but for the leveling up of myself. When somebody goes, oh, I just made, you know, 50 grand on a webinar, I was like, that's cool. Maybe I can do that.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah.
It's huge.
Well, and I think the other thing is when you're talking about, like, one of the things I've done for the past couple of years is with New Media Expo is that virtual ticket's been invaluable. Because I can then go home, and when it's available, I just watch it at home. That's you know awesome. What I mean? Because then I can be, you know, when I was there last year, I think Schechter was there, my old podcasting partner, and he was there for business because his company had paid for it. And he's like, where are you going right now? And he goes, I'm going to this session. I'm like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm tired. I'm going to have a nap. Like I need it because it's Vegas, right? So you're just exhausted.
Because you stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly. There's no clocks anywhere. It's and that was one of the things. And see, there's again another lens, right? Like I went up to the room 2 years ago when that was happening, and I was staying at the Gold Coast 2 years ago. So I stayed at the cheaper hotel right next to the Rio, and I went back there, and that's where I came up with the example of using clocks for task over time. It was in the casino because you don't see clocks anywhere. Right? And Vegas is very, like, not time oriented. It's very task oriented.
Oh,
and
I'm not showing you the sun and see exactly. if you can and figure
I'm like,
it out.
Oh my God, I can do this and this and this. And see, that's to me, it's again being, I think growth has a lot to do with as much as being connected with the right people. It's also about, you know, that ability to knowing when to disconnect from certain things. Like you said, you've untethered from the you send your assistant to go see it. And some people might get paranoid about, well, if I send my assistant, they may learn all this stuff and then they're going to leave me and then I won't be able. But, you know, it's all about that ability of knowing, okay, well, you know, having trust in you and yourself, all that stuff that comes.
Well, I have contingency plans too. So she creates standard operating procedures on exactly. So if she's ever gone, I have all the data. So, there you go. Yes, but I agree with you. Yeah, there's definitely pieces.
But actually, that's a great segue before we wrap up is that, you know, you have those standard operating procedures. I have best practices that I've saved in Evernote for all my virtual assistants or anybody I'm working with. Mainly, I set those up for when my wife and I were working together because she can now see certain things that I definitely will do. And I just share the Evernote note. But that's front end work. And in order to grow, in my mind, you need to have that time to say, okay, you know what? I have a bunch of emails that I know I like to send. These are the kind of emails I get. Here are the responses that I often give. Hey, assistant, here are the keys to my email. Here are the responses I would normally give. Use these responses. And then boom, you've got that peace of mind. So I think, how much front end work did you do? Like how much when you said, okay, you know what? I'm at a level now where I can't do all this stuff anymore. My bandwidth has exceeded. Here are the things I need to put in place now to kind of future-proof things down the road, because a lot of people don't do that. They let growth happen, and then they're just trying to chase the action as opposed to like being ready for when it arrives.
Definitely. I mean, being a business coach in general, I've helped lots of people with systems and all that fun stuff. I adore systems. Mm. I think it's really important to put them because I only want to think about things once, right?
Yeah.
So, but I was doing the same thing. Like my email started getting crazy and I was like, I don't know. I can't handle it. I'm just spending my time doing email all day, which I know is not good and or important or urgent half the time. But trying to figure that out was huge. So getting my first assistant way back when, I was like, okay, I'm gonna let go of my email, right? thankfully now, and I call her my assistant. She's more like my online business manager. She used to work for Willie Nelson beforehand. She's wow. an amazing person. So thankfully she knows all about SOPs and how that works. So she creates most of the stuff now and I don't have to as much anymore, which is an amazing thing. So usually like step one, you create everything, you give it to your person. Well, step two, your person creates everything for in case somebody else comes in. So she's actually training an assistant right now to do like the contact emails and stuff because her bandwidth, she's way more valuable than doing contact emails, right?
Right.
So we're sort of transitioning her over. But it's awesome because I'm like, have fun with that. Cool. I'll check in, you know, a couple days. Let me know how it goes.
Well, yeah, it's right? Like being the CEO, right? You're like, okay, well, this is what this person does, and then this person does this. Like you're building, again, you build your team out, and you build, I mean, because that's what ultimately, and I think that's one of the things a lot of people don't realize is they get a VA or something like that. They're like, okay, that VA does this stuff, and I continue to do this stuff on my end. No, that doesn't have to be the case. You could say, okay, you know what, this VA, and Chris talks about this, Chris Ducker talks about this in his mm-hmm. book too, right? You know, I mean, that way you can say, all right, this is what, this person is way too valuable, like you said, to just do email. So I'm going to get them to lead the team and lead the charge. And, you know, and then you can focus on the things that you do really well, which is connecting with people, which is, you know, doing speaking engagements. Because, I mean, I don't know, did you watch that? There was a CBS Sunday Morning special or interview about the speaking business.
No.
That was just on. Yeah. Chase Reeves, who's a friend of, mm-hmm. You know, Chase.
Of course.
Chase shared it on Facebook the other day and I watched it. And I'm like, wow, this is, you know, like just that they talked to Wayne Dyer. They talked to Josh Shipp. They talked to
Josh. Yeah, I love Josh. Josh is a friend.
They talked to a few people about it. It was really, really actually good. You probably just find it on the CBS site. I'll put link in the show notes for everyone. But yeah, it was, I'm a talker too, as you know. So, I mean, for me, I'm the guy that likes to develop the ideas and you know, I'm a writer, so I have no problem. I mean, I'm good. I can crank out posts pretty easily. And there's certain things I'm willing to let go of and certain things I'm not. Like I won't let, like when it comes to writing, that's my thing. But email, yeah, here you go. Have the keys. Go to town. Oh, you want to handle the finances? Because I suck at that. Go ahead. Handle that, you know? And that's why I'm glad my wife's working with me now, because there's obviously a level of trust there that's already pre-established. So, yeah, you need to kind of – a lot of people don't do this. That when growth happens, and for me in the last year especially, it went from – Creative Live was like a big – speaking of pillars and turning points. When I did that 3-day Creative Live workshop – all of a sudden, like it blew up. After that, there was the TEDx and then South by Southwest. And I'm like, you know what? Well, like, you know, I'm glad I've had some time over the past couple months to kind of take it all in, because it's the first time I did. Like after Podcast Movement, it was just so crazy all the way up to Podcast Movement. Then after that, it's like, okay, what's next? Let's make sure that, you know, I'm ready for what's next, because, you know, I don't want to be preparing a presentation with a week of time left because I've got 4 or 5 other things on the go. And a lot of people don't want to stop to do that stuff, because again, that awesomely polarizing and yet misdefined word of busy is a huge thing, right? So anyway, I know we have to wrap up. So I'll definitely want to have you on again in the future. And you mean systems, you and I, yeah. I mean, I'm the same. With systems create freedom. Most people don't realize this. Systems actually create freedom. Like if you have a system in place, you have so much more freedom because you know where the boundaries are, and you know, and that's what a lot of people don't. They just go, well, you know, I'll just do what I need to do. I'm like, No, you want to do what you want to do. That's what you want to get to. But
Yeah,
we can touch on that in a future episode for sure. So, Jamie, where can people find you online when you are not, eventually millionaireing? Although you do that, although you do that pretty much anyway.
That's a constant, right? No, you can find me at eventualmillionaire.com. I actually have an ebook, which is the 3 habits of all successful millionaires. Usually that's what people ask me. They're like, what's the secret sauce of millionaires? I'm like, okay, number one, if you're asking the question, you don't know. There is no secret sauce. I wish there was. It would be way easier. But I did find some key habits at over, 100 plus interviews have done. It was like, oh, wow, they do this, and this. This is crazy. And so that's definitely there. Plus, all the interviews are free. So you can go online and find so much content from millionaires, which was something that wasn't around when I first started. So it's really cool.
Awesome. Thanks, Jamie, for joining me on the Productivityist podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Mike.